Well, praise God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I want to take a minute just and welcome a couple dear friends of mine. I want to welcome Bill and Gerda Brown, who are just seated over here. These are apostolic ministries. They are apostles. They are pastors, preachers, teachers into Mexico, into Africa. They plant churches, Bible colleges. They have had such a significant influence, not only in those foreign countries, but also in my life over the years. I don't know how long, probably, how long have we known? 30 plus years that we've been under your ministry off and on in Cuernavaca and different places out ministering at the churches you have planted. So bless God. Thank you for coming this morning. Great to have you with us. And I also want to just give a little shout out to a good friend of mine that came out, Manny Nakin, who has been a good dear friend of mine here, and he came out to visit us here this morning. So thank you, Manny, for being a part of the house. And thank you. If you're new in the house, we have connect cards in the foyer. We'd love you to fill out and allow us to just have record of your visit and be able to contact you or put you on our email list just for news of what's going on in the house. And I do want to say, stick around afterwards. We do have some great bakers in the house, and you're going to get a chance to eat some of their food afterwards with coffee and fellowship afterwards. So praise God for that. Well, my name's Jeff Harmon. If you don't know, I'm the lead pastor. My wife here is Lori. 2 years ago, not quite 2 years ago, 2 years in January, it'll be our anniversary. We've planted this church, wanted to be a part of this community, and we just love the young people and families that are coming into the Pearl Church and be a part of this, and we're excited what God's going to do over the next months and years and how this is being built. So praise God, it's great this morning. Well, this morning we're going to talk about the greatest gift ever, the greatest gift ever. You know, this Christmas season, as well as other times, there's this thing that builds up in a lot of our hearts that just seems to happen. It's called familiarity. Things become so familiar to us that oftentimes we forget the significance behind it. We forget about the importance, the influence, the impact that really these things have. And what we do is we go through life, and even us old married people type of thing, certain things we've done for so long, we forget what it was really all about and the joy and the excitement that should be found still within it because of familiarity. And I want to encourage you today not to be familiar with the birth of Christ. Not to become so familiar with it that you forget the impact of what the birth of Christ is really all about. You know, what we do is we go through life almost like a Facebook. We just scroll. You know what I'm talking about? We just scroll through until something pops up, until some sort of headline, until we see something on that Facebook feed that all of a sudden, oh, I'm going to check this out, because they enticed you with such a bizarre headline. You go, no, and you go to click on it, because that's all what it's about. It's click through, right? Click onto it to get to that page, and then you go, oh, this ain't nothing what I thought it was going to be, right? You just get devastated. Well, I thought, you know, when it comes to the Christmas story, if you're going to write some internet headlines to try to get everybody to click through to really see what it's all about, some of the headlines might be like this. My baby is here to save the world. I'm a virgin, and 8 other crazy quotes from a teenage girl giving birth. Now, I might want to check that out, all right? 3 of the most ridiculous gifts to give at a baby shower. That might work. What the shepherds did next will shock you. What could they have done? I got to check it out. Shepherds meet extraterrestrial beings in the field at night. Okay, that might work. This is the favorite. Who's the daddy? Woman claims God is, and fiance says, it ain't mine. You know, we look at the Christmas story, and over the next 2 Sundays, want to do it. I want to do it through what seems to be very familiar. The 2 people that we're going to look at, the 2 groups, one is the shepherds and one is the wise men. And again, we can be very familiar with these players in this story, this beautiful story that breaks into humanity and has really the greatest gift ever. And but these 2 groups of people, it's interesting how opposite they are. You know, we got the shepherds who are the poorest of the poor, and we got the wise men, the richest of the rich in a sense. We've got the ones that are society's outcasts, and we got those that are just the fame and fortune, the favorites, all right? We got so differing in geographical and even racial differences. the stratus of life, the economics of life. You've even got how people view them. And yet both groups, as familiar as we are with them, have a lesson for us, challenge for us of how we should be relating to Christmas all year round. Because Christmas, Christ Mass, Christ celebration, it's not just something reserved for one day. It's for a lifetime when you get the greatest gift ever. Now, the Christmas story is found in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. These are the first and third books of the New Testament, all right? And we look at Matthew. In Matthew, we're going to find the story of the wise men, really. And we go to Luke, and we'll find the ones of the shepherds. We're going to go to Luke right now, actually. And let's turn to the books of Luke. And I've got the verse up here for you. We're going to go 8 through 14. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill will towards men." You know, when I think of the Christmas story, and I think of shepherds in the Christmas story, I look back to all the years as a children and family pastor that I wrote and directed and even played a part in the Christmas play with children at Christmas time. How many here were in a Christmas play at church or somewhere? Come on, hands up. You might have been Mary, maybe you were Joseph. Maybe you were a Mary playing a Joseph, I don't know, because you ran out of guys in the class type of thing. An innkeeper, anybody here played the donkey? Just saying, all right, just saying, the carried Mary type of thing. But you think of the shepherds, and they all had the same type of costume. Bathrobes and a towel over the head. That's all we could find that was perfect. That's what the kids wore. Well, as we look at the beautiful passage here that we just read, it's not just about the shepherds themselves, it's about the message they received and the message they gave. There's something about the shepherds that should challenge us. What do we do when we hear about Jesus? What do we do when we experience Christ? How do we live our life? The news, chapter 2, verse 10, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day a city of David, a Savior who is Christ the King." Have you ever gotten a gift? Have you ever gotten a gift? And, you know, maybe somebody close, maybe a cousin, maybe an aunt, maybe an uncle on the edge of life. And you get this beautiful gift, I open it up, and you go, using your inside voice, because your outside voice, you'd get smacked. What is this? What is it? What could this be? And you're thinking to yourself, I have no idea what this is. Couldn't they have got me something simple like Lego? I know what Lego is. What is this? And you look nicely at them, they go, "Oh, thanks. I've never had one of these. This is awesome." And in your heart, you're going, "Oh, what is this thing?" You know? And you're just sort of a little caught off guard. You know, the thing about the angels, they just didn't say there's a gift waiting for you. They said, "Let me tell you about the gift. It's tidings of great joy. It's a Savior born to you." Can you imagine those shepherds making their way from their flocks at night, leaving somebody looking after the sheep? They're going and they're looking for this gift in Bethlehem. And then they find out, they get into this place where these Mary and Joseph are, and they look at it and they go, "That's it? It's a babe? What does it do? Can it do something different? Mine cries. Mine wakes me up at night. Is that all yours is going to do? I've got two of them at home. I don't need another one." But the angels told them ahead of time what to look for. That this gift, that this greatest gift ever, isn't something that's like anything else. It is a Savior born to you. It is the salvation of God. The angel says, this is what is God's salvation for humanity. It's not just a savior, like a king or a judge or a leader of an army. This is God coming in flesh to bring humanity the redemption that it's cried out for thousands of years. This is the answer to every wish list of every man, woman, and child for 4,000 years. That since the fall of Adam, they've cried out, can somebody give us something that'll get us back to God? And God says, here it is. The gift is undeniably the greatest gift ever, the salvation of God. And this child, this gift, had one purpose. One purpose only, and that is to live for 33 and a half years. To live a short period of an existence in the flesh so that that child could go to the cross. That child could grow up and be a man and take the weight and the sins and the brokenness of humanity and go to the cross and there to die to put every man, every woman, child right with God again. One purpose, one reason. That is the greatest gift ever, to restore you and I by dying on the cross, bring us back into a relationship with our loving Father. One reason only. And this gift is given out of kindness. It's given out of the most gentle, humble heart that says you don't have to earn it. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to be anything other than you that just receive it with a humble heart. You know, it's amazing that God would come and give this greatest news under the cover of darkness into a field with a bunch of shepherds. A bunch of shepherds. You know, you got to understand where shepherds were on the totem pole of society. They were the bottom. They were the worst. They were right down near the bottom of everything. And yet God would come and he wouldn't announce it into the palace where all the rich and the famous and all the dignitaries were. He didn't go to the temple where all the religious were. He went to the fields where the shepherds were. Why? Because God's making it clear. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. You can't do anything in this lifetime that sets you apart to say, I get that gift. God says, no, I give it freely. The only requirement is a humble heart. And God says the greatest gift ever is available to you. First, he says, yeah, it's available. This child, this Savior that's born is born to you, to you, to you. It's born to you. This is a gift for the masses, but it's personal. It's born to you. Not the person next to you, they go, they deserve this gift. They're good enough for this gift. They have a better life than me. They should get this gift. No, God says this gift is for you. It doesn't matter what you've done in life. It doesn't matter how you think you're disqualified. It doesn't matter how far you think you've gone from God. God says, my grace will outreach your fall any day. My love for you will go way beyond how far you have fallen, you failed, you've given up, how far you've quit. God says, I will go after you and pursue you with a gift. That's the unconditional love of God. And this gift is coming to a child that's later going to be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. God says, I don't just give a gift, I give me a gift. Growing up, you know what the best thing given of gifts was? Not going out and buying, was doing those handmade things. You know, those little handmade gifts that mom and dad would look at and go, that's nice, what is it? But you know, it was an expression of your heart, right? It's coming out of who you are. God says, I've got a homemade gift that I'm going to give you. It's from me, who I am. I'm going to give myself to you, Emmanuel, God with us. And it comes in a form of a child to bless our lives. And I love in the good tidings, he tucks these words in there. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. You go, well, why would anybody be afraid? Because so many people say they're undeserving. So many people are afraid. They look at God and they go, well, God looks at me and I know who I am. So God knows more about me than anybody else. And you know what? I know God's mad at me. I know God's angry with me. I know if God's going to come, it's the God of judgment. It's the God of a hammer. It's the God that's going to beat on me, because that's what everybody else always did. And every time I messed up, I got beat on. Anytime I messed up, I got rejected. Anytime I got messed up, people said things about me. God comes and he says, I'm not doing that. I don't come with judgment. I come with loving arms of a father. I come with acceptance. I come to gather you in, to pull you in. I come to cover you. I come to bring my life over you. He's not a God that judges you. He's a God that reconciles you and restores you back into right relationship. And I love this. It's born unto you this day, today, now. Born unto you today. I don't know about you, but for me, one of the worst things happened at Christmas time was when that, you know, the family would come over and all the cousins and everybody. And, you know, sometimes the cousin's family would just bring one gift for every kid, right? So it was representative of the family for you type of thing. So they would come in and they all sit down at the table and we're getting the presents. And all of a sudden the aunt goes, oh, you know, I forgot your gift. As soon as I get home, I will send your gift to you. And you're like, no, you won't. You go home right now. You go home right now. Go get that gift because it's Christmas and that gift is mine. Go get it right now. How many know at 5 years old an IOU does not work? You want Christmas now. And God says the gift for you, salvation, is a now gift. It's today. It's now. It's not, oh, it's coming. It's in the mail. That was 4,000 years of the Old Testament. The Old Testament, since the fall, even before the fall of Adam, Genesis all the way through Malachi was, it's coming, it's coming. All the prophecies, all the examples of the Old Testament were all, hey, it's coming, Messiah's coming, the answer's coming, the gift is coming. And in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, Paul writes this, and it says, in the fullness of time, God sent his son. God says, boom, it's now. No more waiting. And now, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you will but believe in your heart, come on, confess with your mouth. It's now. It's a now gift. It's not a gift you go, well, what do I have to do to get it? No, God says, it's here, it's now. It's a salvation gift for you, and it's a now gift. It's available to you today. We know John 3:16. But sometimes I think this is how we think John 3:16 is really written. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe and fulfill a list of requirements and conditions and prove themselves to me will not perish but have everlasting life. I got the believe part. Man, I'm still struggling with the requirements and fulfilling it and the conditions and proving myself. God says, no. My gift to you this day, now, salvation, is believe. Receive with a humble heart that says, I am a sinner deserving of death, but God, you can reconcile me if I receive Christ into my life and follow him. Boom, it's done. Man, Amazon Prime can't get there faster. It is there. It's done. And there's no struggle. It is there. You know, we got two opposing forces happening at Christmas time. Two images, two icons, if you will. One is true, one isn't. Santa Claus on one side, spelt the same, just rearranging the letters. Sorry, and then you got Jesus on the other side. You've got Santa, and you got Jesus. You got one that has a different view of love and acceptance than the other. And yet, the world is promoted to follow one more than the other. But you look at Santa. That was a Freudian slip. Santa, he's making a list and checking it twice, gonna find out who's naughty or nice. You want to talk about conditional love? Conditional acceptance. Are you good enough to get a gift? Are you good enough to be accepted? Are you good enough? And then death gets promoted. And then you've got Jesus said, whosoever believes. The unconditional love of God is there for every man, woman, and child. Every person. There is no qualification. There's no requirement other than coming to him and say, I receive. That is the greatest gift ever. Our God, a Savior, who can take care of the shame, the guilt of every person. Take the sin and break off the bondage. Set people free. Salvation comes. He is the Christ, another word, Messiah, the anointed one. 353 prophecies, which are words that are foretelling of the life of Christ. From the beginning of time, Genesis 3:15, you get a verse in Genesis that talks about the seed of a woman, born of a virgin, seed of a woman that it says will step on the head, crush the head of Satan. Cross. Since Genesis 3:15, 353 prophetic verses are found about the life of Christ, and he fulfills all of them. Six prophecies throughout the Word of God, 66 books out of the Old Testament, he fulfills six of them at his birth. No one could do that but Jesus. And he fulfilled it. The greatest gift ever. He's the ultimate victor, the undefeated one. He is Lord. In Luke chapters 1 and 2, 20 times he's called the Lord. Not our Lord, he's the Lord. We read about him throughout how he comes and he heals the blind and the lame and heals the leprosy. He causes the dead to rise and to walk. He walks on water, calms the sea, feeds the 5,000. He casts out the demon of legions out of a person. On the earth, in the flesh, he shows he's victorious. And then he goes to the cross, hangs on the cross with all the sins of humanity on him. He goes there 3 days. He rises from the grave. The grave couldn't hold him. He defeats sin. He defeats death, takes the keys of hell. He is the champion of champions, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, undefeated world champion. Nobody's got anything on him. No rival. No comparison to who he is. He defeats sin. He brings victory to every person. And this is but a baby in a manger. Born to you this day, a Savior. In a town called Bethlehem. The most obscure and smallest, Micah says, of towns. And yet God chose to come in the flesh for you. For me, in the fields under the cover of darkness, all of heaven comes down and begins to shout praises, begins to declare glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill towards men. What's the first response when you get such the greatest gift ever? It's joy, it's praise, it's adoration. Like a kid at Christmas. I have a nephew, and when he was young, man, and he got so excited, he's literally vibrating. He's just jumping up and down inside of himself, and we get to see it. He's so excited, and his hands are like this. He's just like, oh my, and it's like a kid at Christmas. Really? For me? This is mine? This you got this for me? This is incredible. And it's just like he's all over the place. Mom and Dad, you're the best. I just can't, oh, Mom, you're just so awesome. And he's just flooding with emotion. That is for that gift. What is it for the greatest gift ever? How do we all of a sudden get so excited that this gift is ours? That this gift that God gave us, that we have become so familiar with, all of a sudden, when we think about it, how are we demonstrating our thanksgiving? How are we demonstrating our adoration, our joy, our thanks, and expressing it? There's an explosion of praise in heaven. We go, yeah, Christmas came and gone. Got some bills. That's about it. Really? Jesus was born. He is inside of you, and you live with the greatest gift ever. In Luke 2:20, they had gone out, and they went and spread the good news, and it says, returning. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. The joy didn't stop. Even past Boxing Day, the day of great returns. they were still excited about the very gift that they had. Joyless Christianity. That's a conflict of terms. That's an oxymoron. It can't happen. If you're a Christian, you've got joy inside of you. If Christ has died for you, there's joy inexpressible. It is just, I can't hold it back inside of you. Have you ever noticed, I don't know if you, what kind of friends you have, but the atheists don't break out in song. Atheists, I got no one to thank, really. Got no future. Got nothing on the horizon, really, that I can give thanks and praise for. But Christians, we got songs inside of us. We got songs that we come. We have caroling nights. Why? We're giving thanks to the God who came down and all of a sudden now he's given us this greatest gift. There's a song in us. And there's now peace. There's peace, it says. Peace within. The chaos inside of us is stilled. I'm okay now with God. There's peace with God. I'm reconciled. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. It's good. I'm back and right. There's peace amongst us. There's peace in my home. There's peace in my marriage. When Jesus rules in the hearts of man, marriages are whole and strong. When God rules in the hearts of lives, our streets are at peace. Our nations are at peace. The world has a sense of peace on it because the Prince of Peace is there. And all of a sudden, that greatest gift has an effect on everyone. What kind of effect? Let me just give you a brief example. Luke chapter 7. I'll give you the story. There is a woman who breaks into a house uninvited, and she is a sinner. Oh, not just a sinner, likely she's a prostitute. She is the worst of the community. In Luke 7, she breaks into a house of a religious leader, a Pharisee, where Jesus was the guest. The religious people wanted to bring this guy in, called Jesus, thinking that they could rub shoulders with him. Well, this woman comes breaking into the house, and what does she do? This woman comes in from behind Jesus, and tears are just flowing down her cheeks. She begins to bend down, and she begins to wash the feet of Jesus. Think sandals, think dirty roads, animals, all the other kind of stuff. Gets down there and begins to wash the feet with her tears. Takes her long hair, ladies, and begins to dry and wipe his feet with the hair. Then she begins to anoint him because she brought this flask of fragrant oil. It smells up the house. And then all of a sudden she begins to kiss his feet. Simon, the religious man, he is all puffed up and he says, if this were a real prophet, this Jesus, he would have known what kind of sinner she was. And he wouldn't even let her touch him. Jesus turns to that man and says, I came to your house as a guest. When I walked in, you had nobody wash my feet. When I walked in, you had nobody anoint me. I'm a man of honor, you say, a rabbi. You did not even kiss me as the custom was to show acceptance, the honor of me. And he says, since I've came into this house, this woman has not stopped to wash my feet, stopped in drying, stopped in kissing, stopped in anointing. What she has done was what you should have been doing. To understand this whole story in Luke 7, it's in one verse, verse 47. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Therefore she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. When you understand grace, the greatest gift ever, when you experience grace, the greatest gift ever, you want to love much. You don't want to love little. You can't help being expressive. Sometimes we have to ask ourselves, how much have I been forgiven? You think of your sins, you think of your brokenness, you think of the actions, your words, your heart, your attitudes, what you've said when you shouldn't have said it. And all those things where you've been rebellious, you've been angry, you have fought God. And yet God comes and forgives you. But how much have you been forgiven? And when we realize how much we've been forgiven, wow, I need to love lots. I need to pour my life out lots because it'll never compare to what I've been forgiven. But if you've been forgiven little, if you think you're good, I don't really have too many sins. Pretty good, really. I look at everybody else I deal with, man, they are lost causes. Me, however, you know, I'm doing pretty good. I don't really need to be forgiven that much. And God says, if you think you don't need to be forgiven that much, that's why you don't worship much. That's why you don't praise much. That's why you don't love much. Because until you realize how much you've been loved and forgiven, then all of a sudden the floodgates of praise open up. And you go, oh, I can't hold it back, man. I see how much I've been forgiven. I've got to give it. I've got to pour out. I've got to spend my life giving back to the one who has given me so much. How much do you love? She comes in and she doesn't dab. Just put a little dab of ointment. Just there you go. Got a little fragrance on you. Jesus, there you go. That's my love for you. You know, walking through like the bay or get a little spritz. Get a little fragrance sort of all over you. If you love little, if you've forgiven little, you'll love little. But what does this woman do? She takes the flask and she breaks it so she can pour it. You don't dab when it's broken. You break it for the reason of I'm giving it all. I'm pouring it all out. I'm just lavishly pouring out my praises unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The whole house became filled. When you're truly forgiven, when you willingly pour out what's of value, you hold nothing back. Man, if you've been forgiven much, you love much. But if you've been forgiven little, you'll love little. Psalm 34, the psalmist says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Not just when it's convenient, not just when Sunday rolls around, at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name. The shepherds didn't just say, I'm going to give a little. They went out and out and out and kept going and praising God and telling others about it. There was such a adoration. But there wasn't just adoration. There was proclamation. Because when you get the greatest gift ever, you can't help but tell other people. When you get that greatest gift, what's the first thing you want to do? You want to go tell your friends. You want to phone them up and say, hey guys, I got the newest, whatever it was. You want to tell all your friends and say, come and see it, come and see it. You got to see what I got. It's incredible. It's amazing. It's the best thing ever. Because you don't just want to have praises to God. You want to give those praises out of adoration and through proclamation saying, this is what God can do for you as well. Verse 15, it says, so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said one to another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. The shepherds heard from the angels, child, a babe, born in Bethlehem. And that's all they got for directions. Can you see these shepherds going into Bethlehem? Hey, anybody have a baby born tonight? Door to door. They had no address. It's like going into Glenora here and being told, hey, Jesus was born in Glenora. Go find him. That's what they're doing. They're going door to door looking for this babe that is born that is called a savior. So they, with zeal, with haste, they go door to door until, hey, anybody here have come crying baby tonight? Anybody hear some screaming going on? Finally, they go there. And they go and see this babe. They experience him for themselves. And when they found him, when they saw this thing, salvation that God brought to the earth, what'd they do? They went back out and they told everybody. They said, we can't hold it to ourselves. We can't keep it back. It's not just for us. We've got to be able to tell other people about it. The good news is that the person of Jesus Christ. The good tidings of great joy, salvation, is found in a babe. There it is, right there. That's what it is. When they found him, they made it widely known. Throughout Scripture, we see when people, you and I, like, meet with Christ, something happens. Chapter 9 and verse 31 of Matthew. Two blind men were healed. They're given their sight back. Jesus says, don't tell anybody. But they went away and spread his fame through all the district. If you're born blind and you get your sight back, are you going to keep it in? Or are you going to go tell somebody? I can see. They went out telling everybody about this Jesus. In Matthew and Luke 5:12, a man full of leprosy was healed. He was an outcast. He could not be allowed to be part of the community. He says, don't tell anybody. Now, even more, the report about him went abroad and great crowds gathered to hear him and be healed of their infirmities. When you are touched by Christ, you can't but tell somebody. I remember the night that I got saved. The night I got saved in Ross Shep at a full gospel businessman's rally of sorts, and I got saved that night. I had to tell my dad. But you got to understand about my mom and dad, they were left us to find our own religion because my mom was Anglican and my dad was Jehovah's Witness. But I had to tell my dad. The one subject we never talked about was religion, but I had to tell my dad. I had to tell him because I knew by experience what it was all about. And I talked to him. And ultimately, that led to conversations after conversations where he finally gave his life to the Lord. The book of Acts, the early church, what the church is supposed to be like. Here's a couple of scriptures, Acts 6:7. Then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great number of priests were obedient to the faith. Acts 12:24. But the word of God continued to spread and flourish. 1349, and the word of the Lord was spread throughout all the region. How did this word of great joy get published? How did it get published? If you're waiting for an angel to tell your neighbor about Jesus, it ain't going to happen. How do our community find out about Jesus? Us, shepherds, simple folk, undeserving people that came to know Jesus Christ. We are the messengers that go out and take the word. As we come to a close here, I find marketing of Christmas toys extremely interesting. The whole idea behind is the sales, obviously. But you look today, and what they do is they make a toy, and then they publicize it, try to get such a demand on it, but they have a low quantity to meet the demand. So what they do is they get kids to be so excited and demanding for that one toy that parents will do whatever it takes to find it, to go and buy it, so their kids are not the kids that are crying because they didn't get it at Christmas. We have toys throughout history that are very much like that. Today we got these Hatchimals. Anybody know what a Hatchimal is? If you're buying gifts for little kids, it's these little dinosaur kind of creature things that you birth, you raise, you look after, you take care of. It's like the Tamagotchis of old type of thing, but they're in these figurines. These crazy Hatchimals, $80. $80, but you can find them for $500 on Amazon and $750 on Kijiji because there's none to be found. Tickle Me Elmo. Tickle Me Elmo. Remember that, honey? Man, everybody wanted a Tickle Me Elmo of the 90s. We wanted to get one for our kids. Tickle Me Elmo. $30 US. In Denver, because they were so few and far between, $7,100 was spent on a Tickle Me Elmo. Create a demand. Hold back. Make it exclusive. Make it out of the reach of the common people. Drive up the price. The world says make it rare. Hold it back from the masses. Charge too much and drive the price up, and that'll give us reputation. That'll give us what we want. God says, I got the greatest gift ever, and I'm putting it out to the masses. I've got the greatest gift ever, and anybody can have it. I've got the greatest gift ever, and I'm going to make it available free to anybody. No qualifications needed. The greatest gift ever. You know, I don't know of anybody that I've worked with in the years, or I even know, or not that I can think of anyway, 45 years old and still talking about their Christmas toy 30 years ago. Unless they live with mom and dad, maybe, I don't know, but they're just not into it. Hatchimals, Tickle Me Elmo, you know where they are? They're in the closet, broken, collecting dust. But the gift, the greatest gift ever, Jesus Christ, is here today with us, right now. And the question, the challenge is this, twofold. Are you as excited today about the gift that you got the day you got it? Because it's available to you to be that excited, that encouraging, that straight. Did you say, Jesus, today, I got him. I love that peanut butter commercial. Where every time the guy goes into the peanut butter jar, And he halts and tastes the peanut butter and he goes, whoa! He does it again and he's got the same expression. He's so excited. Every time he tastes peanut butter, it's like the first time. I shake my head at him, but I go, that's the way it should be with Jesus. That every time we pray, every time we talk about God, every time we think about God, he's like, ha, 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 I can't believe it. I've got Jesus. Not just the day we got saved. Not just the day he came into our life. But the second challenge is, who are you telling? If it's the greatest gift ever, who are you telling? We've got the choir night coming up, caroling night. Invite somebody out. Let God do the work. Don't worry about what God will do. You just bring them. You share the good news. You share the things of God. You begin to bring to God, bring to them the greatest gift ever and say, hey, whatever you think you got, that's the greatest, I got something greater. I can't really tell you about it, but you can experience it. It's the person of Jesus Christ. Born unto you is a Savior, unto you. And I want to encourage you as we come into Christmas, but also all year round, come January, man, invite people, talk to people, get them coming to the house of God, get them, go to your small group, get them to be a part of life with you so they can see Jesus on you, and then talk to them about this greatest gift ever. Believe you me, if Jesus is in the closet somewhere tucked away with the other gifts, maybe you need to pull them back out. Repent, give your life back to the Lord. Find that joy that God has for you. Why don't we stand here this morning? Amen. The greatest gift ever. And that's why we come to the house, to share together the praises and adoration of Jesus Christ. If church is not your custom, can I encourage you somewhere? Get to church. Go to church. Be a part of a believing body that comes and gives exaltation, worships, describes the goodness of God that has the word in it. Get to a house, a community of faith. If you don't have one, we invite you here. This is all about Jesus, not about me, about anybody else. This is about just coming and celebrating the greatest gift ever. Lord, I pray today, Lord, put a new song in our hearts. Let a song of excitement come on our lips, Lord. God, as we sing, as we do carols, Lord, let those songs go past January, February, March, April, May, all the way through the every day of our life, Lord, a song. God, we got somebody to thank. God, a born unto us, a Savior. And God, I pray for anyone, Lord, that feels hesitant about sharing. God, I pray that you just give them courage. God, you're the one that's going to save them, not them. All you ask is that we would declare the good news of Jesus Christ. God, we thank you for this season. God, let it not become familiar. In Jesus' name. Why don't we sing this unto the Lord?